good one. Open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 20. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another opportunity, Lord, that we have to gather together in your name. And I thank you, Lord, for the message tonight. I thank you, Lord, for how you work in our hearts and how you move in our hearts. And thank you for this church. And Lord, I just pray that you bless this church and the ones that showed up tonight. Lord, I just ask that you give me freedom. You give me the liberty. You give me just exactly what you want me to say. Help me not to be tedious tonight. Help me not to be boring tonight. Lord, I need your spirit. I need your calmness, your just you speaking through me, Lord. I pray for the ones in here making decisions, Lord. Well, we can't be gathered together and hear your word and not think about certain things and how you pull things out and you just use these things, testimonies and these words and your words, Lord, to speak to our hearts. I know there's always someone, always people, Lord, who are hard, who are against what you want us transmit to us, Lord. Amen. And I just pray that you just keep working with us, Lord. Just keep speaking to us. In Jesus' name. Yes. Amen. 1 Kings chapter 20. I want you to read a verse. In verse 40, I know the story. We have a couple of kings here, and they're having some problems. And you got the king of Syria and you got the king of Israel, and the king of Syria is coming against the king of Israel, Ahab, and he wants to just take care of him. He wants to just demolish him. He wants to get rid of him. And you have Ahab, who's having a little bit of a struggle. He kind of forgot who he is. He kind of forgot who God was. Kind of forgot that God is not only loves Israel, but he's always looking out for his people, even through a wicked king, even through people who probably don't even deserve God's blessing. He's still moving and he's still using people. Well, you know, you got here a big problem, and he uses a parable. He sends a prophet and he uses a parable to rebuke this king. And it says here in verse 40, let's go ahead and read from verse 39. And as the king passed by, he cried unto the king, and he said, "Thy servant went out into the midst of the battle. And behold, a man turned aside and brought a man unto me and said, Keep this man. If by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life. Or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver." And as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. And the king of Israel said unto him, "So shall thy judgment be, thyself hast decided it." And he hasted and took the ashes away from his face. And the king of Israel discerned him that he was of the prophets. And he said unto him, "Thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people." You know, the phrase or the thought that came to my mind when you go over this story is, this king dropped the ball. You know, have you ever been presented with an opportunity in this life to do something and you just didn't do the right decision? You know, and then there, sometimes when you're presented with something and you don't follow through and you don't do what you know to be correct, sometimes the consequences aren't that bad. But sometimes the consequences are very bad. You know, and you can make a bad decision, not taking a job or picking a friend or not picking a friend, and you can make different decisions like that, and it might not hurt you that bad. But when you're talking about spiritual things, when you're talking about what God wants you to do, and you drop the ball, And you don't take that opportunity that God is giving you to take care of, and you just squander that away, man, there's some huge consequences. Amen. And you look at this all through the Bible, and it's very interesting to me. Don't drop the ball. It's interesting to me that in the Bible, there's a lot of examples in the Bible where people were presented with a decision to make, and they dropped the ball. Lots of places. You think about when Paul went before King Agrippa, right? And he's talking to him, and he's telling him, and he's pouring his heart out, and he even tells the king, I know you believe the prophets. I know you believe what I'm telling you. And he says, thou almost persuadest me. He dropped the ball. He had an opportunity to say, you know what? What you're telling me is truth. What you're telling me is God-given truth. And I need to humble myself, and I need to do the right decision, and I need to believe what you're saying. But he didn't do it. He dropped the ball. A huge opportunity. What happened to that king? What happened to him? He died, went to hell. There's people like the rich young man in Matthew chapter 19. You know, this guy, he goes to Jesus and he says, man, I know you're good. I know you're from God, right? I mean, what can I do to have eternal life? And Jesus tells him, well, follow the commandments. And he has the nerve. I mean, maybe he did everything correctly, but I think he was a sinner just like you and I. And he says, I've observed them my whole life. I've taken care of that. Is there anything else? And Jesus says, oh, you want to be perfect, you say. Right? That's what you're looking for? You want perfection? Sell everything you have. Now that's not the answer to salvation, but that was the answer for him. Because he was trusting in what he had. And God knew exactly. I don't think it was an accident that he left that out. I don't think it was an accident that he just said, you know what, honor your mother and father. You know, he told them a few things. He says, all this I've done. Jesus knew exactly who he was. And he dropped the ball. I have no idea if he got saved later on, or he repented, or he got right. Have no idea. But one thing I do know, he missed the opportunity. He dropped the ball in that very moment. You know, another person who I've always thought about is Demas. Yeah. You know, there in 2 Timothy 4:10, Paul's talking about, he says he loved this present world. You know, when you think about that, and for a while I thought maybe when it says he loved this present world, you know, he was like maybe coveting some things. Maybe he wanted a better job, you know, a retirement. He wanted something else in this life, you know. I don't know. But you know what? maybe it wasn't that. Maybe he just wanted an easier life. I mean, having Paul as your co-worker? I don't think Paul was one of those guys who somebody mentioned, I think it was Joe, you know, oh, it looks like a rain cloud. You know, let's not go out and preach today because, you know, it's a little cold. It's a little bit, you know, bad weather. Look at what he says over there in Second Corinthians about his life. Paul. Look what it says over there. 2 Corinthians. Chapter 11. Did I say second? Yeah. Chapter 11, in verse 25. Thrice was I beaten with rods. I mean, really, we don't have to read any further. You know, three times he was beaten with rods, and this is the guy I'm having to follow and try to exhort and try to help out and try to, you know, be an encouragement and a co-worker. You know, when it says there that he loved this present world, I'm thinking maybe he just said, you know what, I just need a little bit an easier life. And I can understand that. I really can understand that. I understand how somebody would rather not follow Christ because they deceive themselves thinking, I'm going to have an easier life not following Christ. Right? And a few things that come to mind is I get to sleep in on Sunday morning. Really? That's what you want to do? Sleep in on Sunday morning. You know, I don't have to come every night during a mission conference. Really? That's an easier life? No, you know what? I want to be in a place where God is speaking to me. I want to be somewhere where God is giving me a vision. And not a crazy vision, but direction is what I'm talking about. I want to know how I can be more useful, a better Christian. What can I do to correct my life to be more pleasing to God? Because listen to me, without God, life isn't worth it. It really isn't. I mean, what do? You're born and then you're just born to die and that's it. But if you have God, if you're living for Him, man, that's when it gets really good. Now, I know here it doesn't seem really good being around somebody who got beat, you know, three times with rods. You know, that's not very appealing. But, you know, he goes on to say, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, and journeyings often in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness. Please stop. You know, he says here, in perils in the sea, in perils among the false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily. If that wasn't enough, the care of the churches. You know, if that wasn't enough, I mean, sometimes I have to hear their petty problems. That's what he's saying. I mean, it's like almost, you know, maybe I think Paul would be like, have you ever gotten beaten with rods? You know, come talk to me. Once you've gone through one of these perils. But, I mean, you talk about not only busy, but so many problems. Can you understand how demons have said, you know what, I want just a time out. You know, I definitely understand. But you know what? 100% of the time, it was a bad decision. God had called Demas to be a companion to Paul. a help to Paul. And he decided. He dropped the ball. He didn't continue. Now, how much did that affect Paul? We don't know. But I'm pretty sure it affected him. I'm pretty sure it was one of those lows. You know? We have people in the word also, which obviously that is the those are the ones that failed. But what about the people who took advantage of the opportunities? There's plenty of those. And good stories. I mean, we're talking about a guy like Zacchaeus. You know, little guy. Little guy, he goes, and you talk about having obstacles. You know, he was short. He couldn't see Jesus. So then he has to climb a tree. Right? He climbed a sycamore tree to just to get a glimpse. He wasn't even expecting, I think, for Jesus to even look at him. Man, don't you feel that way sometimes? I mean, seriously, in this room, who are you? You know, really. You might be deceiving yourself today, this week. Why come tomorrow? Why come the rest of the week? Who am I? God's not going to speak to me. Let me tell you, it was an amazing thing. Jesus walking by there, and he looks up at Zacchaeus. Amen. And he says, I need to be in your house today. Me? Yeah. He made haste. He jumped down. He took the opportunity. No excuses. He didn't say, oh, wait a minute. But I'm just a rotten person. No. I'm going to come to your house. You think about another person. Blind Bartimaeus. Look what it says there. In Mark. Let's just read it. Mark 10:46. Look what it says. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus. I mean, that's how he was known. Blind Bartimaeus. Right? He says, the son of Timaeus sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. And he cried the more a great deal. Talk about opposition. The guy was blind, right? And then they're telling him, shut up. Right? They're telling them, stop yelling. Stop talking. Nobody wants to talk to you. You're blind. What can you offer? Right? You're a blind guy. You're a beggar. You depend off other people. You're not useful. And that opposition, he didn't care. He raised his voice even louder. Why? Because it didn't matter what the opposition was saying. He said, I have an opportunity. This chance, I'm standing here begging and Jesus is walking by me. When is that going to happen again? It's not like I can show up next week and hopefully he comes by. Or maybe he invites me like he did Zacchaeus. No, he said, this is my opportunity. I'm going to respond. Amen. And he lifted up his voice, and Jesus Christ heard him. Amen. Look what it says here. And Jesus stood still. Oh, I like that, man. That's what I want. Wouldn't you like that this week? Jesus standing still upon us. Right? Ready to come out and touch somebody. Ready to come out and say, this is what I want you to do. Look what it says here. It says, Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. Man, they're surprised. And then he says, and he, casting away the garments, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said, now this is crazy. Because he says, what wilt thou, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And I don't, no disrespect, but Jesus knew he was blind. I mean, everyone was calling him blind Bartimaeus, right? I mean, that was his name. But he asked him, what do you want? What is it that you want me to do for you? You know what? I think God wants you to talk to him.
Amen.
Because look, God can tell you exactly what he wants you to do every single time. But you know what? We got a God that wants to reason with you. We got a God that wants to sit down and he wants to speak. He wants to talk to you. He wants to converse a little bit with you and say, and truly, is this what you want? What is it that you want? What do you want that I can give you? The creator of the whole world is asking him, I guarantee you, having a whole bunch of money and not being a beggar the rest of his life wasn't even considered. He says, I just want to see. I just want to see. You know, this is what I think is most needful in the lives of many Christians. To see. To see that host just all around. To see what God is doing. You know, I've had the blessing of being in Poland twice in the past 2 years, right? Seeing these guys out there. You know what impresses me? That Corey and Josh, and I'm just going to use them two because they're young. Young guys, you know? When I went to Mexico, they were little bitty kids, you know? Pests. And now I'm standing on the streets of these guys, and they're preaching like if it mattered what they're saying. And I say that because to them, to the Polish people walking by, it does not matter. But to them, it matters. It matters. They are preaching life and death. An incredible thing. They're giving an opportunity to Polish speaking people, an opportunity to choose life. What a blessing. What an incredible thing. I think about the leper in Mark chapter 1. Man, he wanted to be cleansed. He said, if thou wilt. Man, if only you want to do this for me. Rejection. I mean, I know we don't see, well, at least in this part of the world, lepers. But if you did, you wouldn't want to be around them. Just Google it. Google the people who actually suffer from leprosy. Ears missing, nose missing, fingers missing. It's grotesque. And yet this guy, he comes up and with all the rejection, because he is a leper, he has the audacity to come to Christ and ask him, thinking, I hope he doesn't reject me. You know what? He didn't reject him. He healed him, right? He gave him exactly what he needed. He took that opportunity, and he just opened his mouth, and he asked Jesus Christ to heal him. How about the malefactors? The two criminals. Two criminals. You got two people there. One is being evangelized. Well, they're both being evangelized, but one was actually being evangelized by people in the audience. They weren't preachers. They were ridiculing Christ. They were making fun of him. And he's listening and he's listening and he's listening. And then at the end of the time, he said, will you just remember me?
Amen.
Just, I can't even say anything else. Just remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Amen.
He took that opportunity. The other guy was making fun of him. He says, man, aren't you scared? I mean, we're here because our own works merited this. And you're in a position that you're dying. You're being judged, and you can't. You're still you're still rebelling against God. And he chose to take that opportunity to ask God for forgiveness, and he got in.
Thank you, Lord.
You know the thief on the cross, this guy that got saved. He's not the exception. He is the rule. You know, when I talk to some people who think, oh, no, you know, we can't just, you know, believe, we need works. I think, what about that thief on the cross? Oh, no. He died. He died in the Old Testament. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Huh? They came. The soldiers came there and they looked and they said, we need to break some legs because they can't be hanging there all day. Right? And so they get there and they break the thief's legs because they're still alive. But guess what happened? They go to Jesus. He was already dead. He died. They died under the New Testament. He's the rule. He could not come down. He had. Could you imagine that question posed and him thinking, I am nailed to this cross. Just no way possible that I'm going to do any works at all. But I'm just going to take this opportunity. I mean, what's the alternative? So I'm just going to ask. And he gave it to him. You know, you think about another guy. How about that lad in John 6:9? You don't know his name. But talk about discouragement and doubt with that guy. John 6:9. Let's read that. It says, and there is a lad here. So there's a lot of people listening to Christ. He's got to feed these people. Well, he didn't have to, but he's God and he wants to do it. So he asked them, you know, what are you going to feed them? Right? And so they're astonished, right? Because it says here in 6, and this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Right? So he posed the question to them just to see what they'd say. Jesus knew exactly what he was going to do. But the thing that happened was that in verse 9, he says, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? Could you imagine for a split second, that lad, that boy, he had this and they're calling him out. They said, look at this lad. You know, sometimes I like calling kids out, right? Because I just like to see their eyes, you know. They go, he's talking to me. You know, when I was over in Poland visiting with Josh and Magda and Corey and Magda, I like their kids. Their kids are really neat kids, you know. I like talking to them. I like just fellowshipping with them, you know. It seems kind of crazy, you know, but it is really fun to talk to kids. Maybe because they're not so judgmental, you know. Sometimes you and I, and you see it in your eyes sometimes, you know. Sometimes you know, I talk to you or you talk to somebody and you're disgusted with them. You know, I don't want to talk to you, you know. I don't have time. But not a kid. You know, I can stop a kid in this room after it's all over. I can stop any kid, and talk to them, and their eyes will light up. Because, hey, man, that's the guy that was just preaching a little while ago. You know, what's he doing talking to me? You know, here's a lad, and they call him out, and he's thinking, wow, he's talking about my loaves and my fish. And then they say, what is that? What is that with so many people? And for a split second, he thought, oh, man, you know, I really thought I had something. You know, I thought that what I had in my hands was really something. But you know, it really was something. Jesus, in that moment, he said, give me those. He had that opportunity to say, no, they're mine. Didn't you hear what this guy, he said there was nothing, so forget it. You know, he had an opportunity to just say, you know, I'm going to take them, I'm going to eat them, I'm going to go behind a rock, they're mine. But he didn't do it. He gave it to them. And Jesus blessed, and they all ate. Not only did they eat, but they were full. Oh, man, don't you like being full? I like being full. I love being full, you know? The best thing to being full is that I know I'm going to be hungry in a little bit, right? To be full again. They were filled. And not only were they filled, but they took up baskets. They took up food. God, we have a God, we serve a God that is giving you an opportunity, and we should not doubt or get discouraged on just a little bit that we have. To God, it ain't a little bit. You know, I know we're not sufficient. I know that. I really don't know how I do what I do up here preaching. I'm always nervous. That's why I bring water. You know, I've told you this before. I stutter. On Sunday, when Steve, he starts calling out people. Oh, will you read this? Will you read that? Oh, man. Please. Don't call me. I don't know why I get that way. It's like I get thrown to sixth grade. I don't know how to explain it. It really is crazy. And then I'm the last one he calls. Brother John, oh, man, he did it. You know what's the crazy thing? It happened also in Warsaw when I was preaching at Magda's brother's church. Right? They had a Sunday school before the message, right? And so I'm sitting there in a group, and he's calling on people to read. And I even got nervous. I don't even read Polish, right? I'm sitting there, and I'm nervous. Oh, man, he's going to call on me. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, I have an excuse. I cannot read Polish. You know, doubt, discouragement shouldn't be an obstacle to take advantage of the opportunity God has given us. How about Matthew? Matthew in chapter 9, where he's sitting there at the tribute, and Jesus walks by and he looks at him and he says, follow me. And he goes. Immediately, doesn't blink an eye. Doesn't think about it. You see the same thing happening, Peter. He's working with his nets. Right? Jesus comes and says, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. And they dropped their nets. They took that opportunity. They could have very easily said, I'm not going to go. I like fishing. You know? Fishing is fun. I mean, maybe not so much for me because I don't catch fish. But but for people who actually catch fish, I see their faces and they seem like they're having a lot of fun. You know? A good fishing trip for me is Walmart. Go to Walmart. I know they got fish. Just three things to consider, and we'll wrap it up. Three things to consider about dropping the ball, about missing out on an opportunity that God has for you, has for us as a church. The first thing I want to say is we got to take advantage of the opportunity. Yes. Advantage of the opportunity. You know, I think about Josh and Magda. I'm not going to butcher your story, and I'm sorry, but I'm old and I don't remember too well. But I remember Josh telling me that when he went down as a single man to Poland and he wanted to get married and he found Magda, right? Well, Magda wasn't on board with getting together with you, right? At the very beginning. You know? And he went back home a little down. Right? And wasn't it your parents that said, what? You're not useless, Josh. They told you, come on, you're messing the story up. They told you, go after her. Get on the train. Go get her. Is this who God wants for you? Do you actually believe that? Go get her. Convince her. Persuade her. Imagine if he wouldn't have taken that opportunity. He'd be single to this day. I'm sitting there in his house, and I'm looking at his kids, and I'm looking at Magda. You know, the crazy thing, Karen and I, we're really blessed with them. They really have a good marriage, and they have a good time. Josh does some dumb things, and Magda laughs at him. You know? And Josh laughs at his dumb things. You know? I mean, they're happy, and they laugh at each other, man, God did this. God put this together. God gave them four great little kids, you know, and they're actually really good kids. Amazing. But they're good kids. Got to take that opportunity. Amen. If you don't take advantage of the opportunities God has put there, the outcome could be very bad. Right. And, you know, I dare to ask, if I asked Josh right now, you know, could you imagine your life without your kids, without your wife? Wow, that'd be hard. But because he got on the train or on the car, whatever, however you got there, and you bought those flowers, you bought those roses, and you did whatever you did to convince her to marry you, your life is better. You took advantage. Another thing. The opportunity that God gives us is only for a certain period in our life. It doesn't come around all the time. I truly believe there's times in our life where God gives us an opportunity to do something. You know, people make money all the time, and people lose money all the time. You lose money, no problem. You just work a little harder, and you can get it back. Right? How about your health? You know? You can actually get your health back. Can you believe that? Look at Brother Lindell. I mean, the guy, how many times have you come in here and the guy looks like, man, that's it. He's out the door. You know? And then you come back again and he's like, you know? And what happened, Brother Lindell? I went to the hospital and they killed a piece of my heart. Good night. Are you serious? They kill a piece of your heart and he gets better. A good physician is good to have. You can actually recover your health. Look at Brother Steve. 2 years ago when I was down there the first time. You know, I Brother Steve had like a little fog. I could see it. You know? He wasn't, you know, my pastor of old. You know? Where jumping around. Well, you know, you saw him on Sunday. That's Steve. That's what I remember. Right? That excitement. That. And when I went back this year, in June, there was Steve, man. He was back. The light turned on.
Amen.
You can regain your health. What about spiritually and morally? I mean, I think if it works for health reasons and you know, knowledge, if you have a stroke or whatever and you lose some memory, I mean, if you work on it, you know, quick enough or whatever and you rehabilitate yourself, you know, you get most of that knowledge back. But if it works for these things, what about spiritually? Some of us have made some bad decisions in our life.
Amen.
Some of us have made a little bit of a havoc of our life. And God has given you an opportunity.
Thank you, Lord.
I say if you're here, you have an opportunity.
Amen.
But to think you'll always have that opportunity, that you'll always have that chance to change your life, get some things out of your life, make better decisions, if you think you're always going to have that, wow, you're fooling yourself.
Right.
I think opportunity belongs to a certain period of life. Another thing, the last thing, I think there's an opportunity for us being useful. I think about, I'm going to tell another story. You know, we need to be useful. And there's an opportunity for us to be useful as parents. You know, teaching our kids how to serve God. And how to serve God and be joyful about it. You know, that I know that's a balance there. You know, give them good advice. Sometimes people work way too much and they lose their kids. And I'm not necessarily saying they work in bad things. I mean, look at the story of Billy Sunday. How many people did he win to Christ? But yet he lost his kids. All that time, and he was invested, and people got saved, and lives were changed, but he lost his children. Wow. You know, when I was there in Josh's house, had a real good time there at Josh's house. Josh can cook good breakfasts. Man, he can cook bacon really well. And so we were there talking, and Magda, we were having lunch, and Colin comes in with a friend, right? And they're out playing or whatever in the room. And so Magda was telling me, you know that kid, because I asked him, who's that kid? Oh, he's a friend from his school. He goes, actually, that kid was a bully. And he was always picking on Colin. How old is Colin?
8
years old. He was picking on him, beating him up. And Colin came home, and he told Magda, you know, mom or whatever, you know, this kid's punching me. You know, he's being mean to me. You know, me as a dad, I'd say, come here. You do this right here, right in the nose. All right, that's your God-given opportunity. Next time he does it, you're not going to get in trouble with me. All right? You just punch him as hard as you can. No, you know what Magda says? Brilliant. The next time he gives you trouble, you tell him, invite him to the house, and your mama will make him brownies for you too. So he goes the next day. Bullies give him problems, and he says, I want to invite you to my house. My mom can make us some brownies. So he said, okay. They're best friends. They're best friends. What? That's some crazy counsel. You know? But I'm thinking, she had an opportunity right there to tell him, okay. And you know, sometimes you have to fight back. I realize that. But for that moment, I mean, who knows? You know what? Colin's 8 years old. He had an opportunity to either punch or do the right thing. Try to give this guy a chance. Because, you know, this kid in 5 years, he's going to be a little older. And he's probably going to be in a position to choose between life and death. And he'll always have in the back of his head, I had a friend of mine who I used to beat up. And he won me with brownies. And when I started going to his house, I noticed they're a little different. There's Bible verses on the wall, you know, they pray before they eat. Little things, these little things go a long way. You have an opportunity to be useful. You have an opportunity to serve God. Whatever you want to do for God, you have that opportunity to be useful. And you need to take it. Investing. You need to be investing in what God's doing. You know, there in Proverbs, in chapter 1, if you read that, I'm not going to read it everything there, but in verse 24, God is talking, and he's saying, because I have called, and ye refused. That's sad. God is calling, and you and I keep refusing. God has given us an opportunity to make some changes, to change our direction, to do things a little differently, and we're dropping the ball. You have a choice right now. Go back, and I'll end with this. Go back to 1 Kings. I want you to read with me the last verse. First Kings 20. I think this parable is about the danger and obviously the harsh consequences of what happens when you do drop the ball, when you do make that bad decision and you don't take full advantage of that opportunity. But look what happens after he tells them, you're going to die. You didn't do what you were supposed to do. You dropped the ball. And you're gonna reap the consequences. Instead of repenting, instead of saying, God is merciful, and if I just humble myself, if I just acknowledge that I made a mistake, maybe this will speak to God. But listen to what he says. And the king of Israel went to his house heavy and displeased, and came to Samaria. You know, you have a choice today. You can either take advantage of the opportunity God has given you. You can understand that there is a specific season for the opportunity that God gives us. And you can actually take the opportunity to be useful. Or you can go to your Samaria and you could be heavy and displeased and not enjoy the joy of the Lord. Because let me tell you, there's true joy serving God. Not everybody is going to get it. And sadly, not everybody in the church is going to get it. There's going to be problems even with people right here. There's probably people right here saying, I wish he'd shut up. You know, it's already 9:20. I'm getting a little hungry. The taco truck is going to close. And then hopefully there's some people saying, man, I don't want to waste that opportunity.
Amen.
I need to do something.
Amen.
I need to take advantage of that opportunity. I understand that there's only a season of it. There's only a specific time that God is going to let me do something. I want to be useful. I want to take advantage of what God has given me. Not worry about people. Not worry about what others think. Not worry about how meager our efforts are. Man, if God's in it, He can multiply anything he wants. Amen.